The following is another exclusive presentation of Super Talk Mississippi. It's time for the Economic Development Radio Show on Super Talk Mississippi and online at supertalksouthwest.com. Hosted by former mayor of Monticello and now Lawrence County Economic Development Director Dave Nichols. Today's show is presented by Bank of Brookhaven, the Southwest Mississippi Partnership, Kapaya Lincoln Community College, Southwest Mississippi Community College, Cooperative Energy, Southwest Electric, Magnolia Electric Power, King's Daughters Medical Center, the Lincoln County Economic Development Office, and by the Lawrence County Economic Development Office. Now, say hello to your radio show host, Dave Nichols, on Super Talk Mississippi.
And a very good morning to each and every single one of you. So I'm so thankful that you take time out of your day and you join us here on the Economic Development Show. Have a guest with us today via that new fancy invention, the telephone lines. Good morning, Mayor Martha Watts from Monticello. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. So yesterday, Mayor has no idea what I'm going to talk to her about. First, I need to thank her for joining us at last minute. I did have a couple of other guests that were supposed to join us today, and then they ended up having to go to some very last-minute meetings and canceled out on me. So I shot a text to Mayor Watts and said, hey, how'd you like to join me on the show today? And she graciously accepted. So thank you again, Mayor.
Sure, no problem. Glad to do it.
So yesterday, you and I attended the Lawrence County Board of Supervisors meeting. And we saw something that seems to be maybe a little historic in Mississippi. And I'm kind of wondering, as word gets out, if it might help a couple local businesses. Yesterday, the Lawrence County Board of Supervisors passed a resolution naming Lawrence County a Second Amendment sanctuary county, meaning that if the feds or somebody tries to come in and get your guns, that Lawrence County would stand up and say, no, we, you know, as long as it's within the realm of the Second Amendment, we support that. Kind of wonder if that might lead to increased gun sales there in Lawrence County.
Well, you know, I don't know. I would say that it absolutely substantiates them. It gives base to that, and probably so. You know, their open support of this move, I think, is a positive thing. It is the first that I know of in Mississippi. I think they are the first county that has gone on record in support of upholding our Second Amendment rights. So, you know, I'm glad for that.
You know, I didn't count how many people were there. I should have.
Yeah.
That definitely was the largest crowd. I mean, I've been going to supervisors' meetings for 28, 32-plus years now.
This was a big one.
In there. And in my 20 years as mayor and then in my time covering some town board meetings back when I was had my own radio station, never in the history of town of Monticello or a county board of supervisors meeting have I seen that many people there.
They had a huge turnout, and I would estimate between 40 and 50 were there. When I drove up, you know, I always attend their meetings anyways, and I drove up and saw all those pickup trucks in the parking spaces, and, you know, I had to park and walk, so I knew it would be a big morning, but it was, and I think it's good for people to come and see the process of how things work. You know, most of those, or maybe all of those, had never been in a board meeting before of their county board of supervisors, and that's something that everyone should do. Everyone should participate. Everyone should see the process and know what the thought process is, the legalities, and every decision that's made. So, and several of those came up yesterday, you know, with this request. The request that was made by this group will have to be tailored just a little bit to conform with state law, but it was a good, solid request, and they got a good, solid answer from the board.
They did, and you're absolutely right. People should know how that works. I'm not even sure if they teach civics in high school any longer or not.
I'm afraid it seems like they don't.
And one of the reasons they should, many of the things that government does, again, you and I both agree with this statement, government does not basically create jobs, but we can create an atmosphere that is conducive to jobs. And so when people have a better understanding of how the process works, they can begin to see that.
Absolutely. It avoids confusion. It avoids the rumor mill. It, you know, and you can shortcut your steps if you go right to the source, know how it's done, and do it properly. You know, but it does, they do create a good environment for economic growth. You know, that is one thing they can do. Just like the town, you know, we can't go out and buy a business and, you know, town-owned business, but we can absolutely support and give the environment and the atmosphere that would be conducive to economic growth and new businesses coming up.
And I think that's one of the reasons why you've been effective as mayor so far. Coming from the business sector, you understand that a little bit better, and you bring that to the table. Let me switch gears for a second. Let's talk about the Atwood Water Park. I understand it's closed right now because it's the Atwood Water Park.
It is literally a water park. Literally a water park, yes.
And so now that is a wonderful facility. It does bring a lot of people into Lawrence County. The campground is used a good bit. The tennis courts are used a good bit. The front field is used for various events and whatnot. And so talk about the water park for a moment. How much, any idea of how much longer it will be closed? But because even once the water recedes, there's probably going to have to be some cleanup that will have to be done as well.
That's right. We don't know until the water goes down. We did have time to prepare. They were able to wrap the pedestals, and we hope that helps. The water did not get up to the air conditioning units of the cabins, and the last I could tell, I could still see the tennis court. I don't know if it ever went under. You know, we had the tennis court resurfaced. We've added the new disc golf course, which has been extremely popular. I had no idea we would attract this many to take up that game, but we have. You know, the receipts have been great, but we'll know when the water goes down what the cleanup is going to be.
Yeah, a lot of times there's a lot of sand, I mean, literally a lot of sand that is left in the park from when the river comes over the banks. Good to know that the cottages were not affected, that the tennis courts were not affected as well. Well, worth that time. We got to pay a few bills. Mayor, don't go anywhere. We're going to play a few ads, pay some bills, come back and talk more about everything Monticello with Mayor Martha Watts. We'll do that right after these very important words.
Dreams into reality is what Bank of Brookhaven is all about. Hey, this is Shannon Aker, and whether it's a college loan or a new home or the startup funds for a new business, we have the financial products and bank services that can make it happen for you. Stop in and see us today. And remember, at Bank of Brookhaven, it's all about you. Bank of Brookhaven, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
I'm Kevin Bond, CEO of Southwest Electric. Southwest Electric focuses on improving the communities we serve. Over 4,200 miles of power lines connect our members in Adams, Emmett, Claiborne, Kapaa, Franklin, Hines, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Wilkeson counties. As a member, you're also an owner. Once we cover the necessary costs, remaining funds, called capital credits, go back to you. And elected board members are from the service area, providing local control. Not-for-profit, member-owned, local leadership. Southwest Electric serving our cooperative members for over 80 years.
An equal opportunity provider and employer.
Did you know that a portion of the 7% sales tax you pay at the checkout counter is actually returned to your local municipality? That means New Hebron, Silver Creek, and Monticello have more money to pay roads, to give you better law enforcement, better fire protection, to support the clubs and the schools and the organizations that you're a part of. Shopping at home makes a difference. This message brought to you by the Lawrence County Chamber of Commerce. Lawrence County, where there's always something going on.
To us, taking care of community means providing specialty-trained hands-on care with the latest technologies in physical, occupational, speech therapy, and athletic training services, including advanced training and treatment of the lumbar and cervical spine, certified lymphedema specialists, and aquatic therapy to help young athletes, seniors, workers, and children and families with special needs reach their goals. Quality therapy services in a Christian environment. That's King's Daughters Therapy Center.
Southwest Mississippi Community College has been recognized as a 2020 Best College by NISH. This year, the college ranked number one in Mississippi and number 16 in the nation. While Southwest has always been known as a wonderful place to learn and grow, the college is so proud of its students and staff for earning this national distinction. For more information about Southwest, visit our website at www.smcc.edu or like us on Facebook. Discover Southwest and see why it's the right choice for you.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog.
Welcome back to the Economic Development Show. I'm Dave Nichols, joined by Mayor Martha Watts, the mayor of Monticello, who is just over halfway of her first term as mayor. Mayor, let's go back and talk about the disc golf course there at the Atwood Water Park for just a moment. Some folks may not know what we mean by disc golf course. I think pretty much everybody knows what a frisbee is. And basically, that's what this is. It's a frisbee golf course. Now, you could take your old standard frisbee, but they make all kinds of different discs that you can use for this. But what I want to talk about is tell us the story of how the disc golf course came to be there at the Atwood Water Park. Now, I may be getting this wrong. That's why I want you to tell me the story. Basically, the town has very little money in this course that was installed.
We have virtually no money in this course that was installed, other than the one basket that the alderman decided to sponsor. We had the perfect set up for it at that back 40 that we never, I call the back 40, it's only, I don't know what, maybe 12 acres, but the back part that we never really used, you know, took advantage of, but there was,
campground.
Right, there was a primitive campground in part of it, but, you know, the walkway goes all the way back there along the boundary line, and I was back at the pavilion, and I said, you know, we really need to, or I was walking, actually, and said, we really need to do something with this. And I came back to talk to Debbie about it, and she said, well, her son played disc golf. We didn't know what that was, really. Looked it up on the Internet, and I said, this looks great. It looks like it would be something that would be doable out there. So through her son, we were able to get a name of Tony Bass, who actually designs and builds these courses. So Tony came, and he was just beside himself with excitement because it was a natural setup. There was not one limb that we needed to cut, basically. It was just perfect like it was, more or less. So anyways, he's held several tournaments here and has raised money that way to pay for some of the baskets that he put up. Right now it's a 10-hole, but I feel like by this coming summer we'll have an 18-hole course. But yeah, basically you have a putter, a driver, and a long distance one that curves. They're not expensive. They are like frisbees, but they're a little bit heavier, a little bit thicker, and you use them according to what kind of a throw you're trying to do. It is a skill level. I mean, you don't just go out there and start doing it, but it's a great walk. I know the ones that do the 10-hole end up walking about 5.5 miles. So, you know, it's a good healthy thing to do.
And you're not just walking. You're also, like, you get some other aerobic activity as you're slinging your arm, tossing that disc and whatnot. Mayor, sounds like you've played it.
Well, I do have a set of discs, but no, I've not found time to get out there and throw yet, other than I've tossed it a couple of times, but no, I've not done the whole thing. I hope this spring I'll get motivated and get out there and do it. I know that the receipts, you know, it's $3 to play, and the receipts have been really surprising for us, a good kind of surprise. So we can tell by that, you know, the popularity of it.
And the good thing there is, too, you mentioned that Mr. Bass has thrown a couple tournaments to kind of recoup, you know, his investment in setting it up. And I know that it's not just people from Monticello and Lawrence County that are playing. You've got people that are traveling
from
to
Louisiana,
Lawrence County to play.
Louisiana, Alabama, Jackson, Hattiesburg, Brookhaven, actually. And he usually brings about 45 in his tournament. So, and it's an all-day thing. They'll tee off at like 9 and then break for lunch and then come back and finish about 4. So they're having lunch here. They're spending time in our town, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely. So speaking of spending time and people coming, that's one thing that I've really always liked about Lawrence County, that I've liked about Monticello. I think we do a very good job and capitalizing on our natural assets. Cooper's Ferry Park, the Atwood Water Park, the Longinot House, the historic Civic Center, the Sportsplex, different things of that nature. Well, coming up in March, the second annual Red Bluff Grand Fondo, and it looks like it's going to grow this year. A third course has been added that will go to the north side of the county for the more, and this is what gets me, Mayor, the more casual rider. It's a 32, 33-mile course.
It's a 35-mile, yes.
For the casual rider.
Not exactly. It's up some serious hills. They still have a pretty steep incline right at the start.
Then it fairly levels out after that when it goes up Fire Tower Road. But now, so already there are people that have registered to come from Maine, New York, and Ohio.
And Connecticut.
I forgot Connecticut.
And then some surrounding states.
Yeah, Louisiana and Texas and Alabama and those areas. But, I mean, so we're seeing the and I never would have believed there would be this much interest in cycling, but there is. But now that event is going to grow this year, too. One of the things that you're heading up, this is kind of going to be your baby with the cycling event, is going to be a downtown block party.
We are so excited about the block party. I'm putting the music together now. We will have 2 to 3 bands. We're going to probably stick with blues on 2 of them. I've got 2 blues, and I've got 1 that does a 70s-type music. But we'll have music going from noon to 5. We will have vendors here. We will have handmade, homemade, homegrown. So we'll have a potter here that is local and just does the most beautiful work. We'll have goat's milk soap from a local person. We'll have jams and jellies. We'll have other art type things. So, you know, vendor forms are out there. You have to apply, you know, and we look those over. It's a $20 fee, but you're guaranteed an exposure of around 300 people. We're confident in the 250 riders this year, and then we'll have at least, you know, 50 to 100 spectators. So the vendors are pretty much guaranteed the sales. And we're just really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great event. The children are going to be included in their little fondo that's going to make a block, you know.
I'm so excited about that. What the mayor's alluding to, once all the cyclists are gone for the smaller children, there's going to be a ride basically around downtown Monticello. And, Mayor, I don't know if you know this or not. Leanne got the forms done yesterday. For, I believe it's the first 10 cyclists that sign up, they're going to get a free helmet that they would wear.
Yeah.
And then every rider after that's going to get a free water bottle that will sign up and ride in the children's fondo. I'm really excited. I think it's going to be cool.
And children are required to wear a helmet.
Right.
They have to have a helmet to ride.
And I think you can get the entry forms for that at City Hall. You can get them at our office on the 3rd floor of the courthouse. And there'll probably be some other locations as well. So definitely looking forward to the Red Bluff Grand Fondo, March the 7th, 3 different courses. 2 that were there last year, the Grand Fondo, which is the 100-plus mile ride, the M Century ride, the 60-plus mile ride, and then the Petite. That's actually the actual name. It's called the Petite Fondo. 35 miles for the casual rider.
Right, for the casual.
Which one are you riding in, Mayor?
Well, I'll actually be doing mayoral duties instead. So.
Well, you've got that downtown block party to take care of.
I do, I'm so excited about that. I think we're just going to have a great time. The Civic Center will be open for the museum. It'll be open for I believe Robin's going to have some displays out, or maybe part of the attic sale. Some of the nicer things will be out for sale. So the town will be open for business that day, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, we got to pay a few more bills. Don't go anywhere, Mayor. We've got more to talk about, because I definitely got something I want to talk to you about that's going on in town right now that I think is a wonderful thing. We'll be back to talk to Mayor Martha Watts, the mayor of Monticello, and we'll do it right after these very important words.
When you flip a light switch in your home, do you ever think what it takes to get the electric power to your home? Probably not, but if you're a member of Magnolia Electric Power, then you're part of a local cooperative. To Magnolia Electric Power employees, you are more than a member as they strive to provide you with the lowest power cost possible. Knowledge is the key to controlling your bill. Install energy-efficient appliances. Use our Smart Hub app to track your usage and help you make wise energy decisions. Magnolia Electric Power, working together the cooperative way.
The Southwest Mississippi Partnership is working together to bring new business and industry to the area. Southwest Mississippi invites you to take advantage of the many site selection resources. Whether you need a detailed proposal or just a few facts, the local developers stand ready to assist you with all of your relocation or expansion needs. To find out more about Southwest Mississippi, visit us on the web at www.swmiss.us. In Southwest Mississippi, we're working so you can too.
Copiah Lincoln Community College recently announced that it had the highest graduation rate of all community colleges in the state. Now is the time to start or finish the degree you've been dreaming of. Are you ready for a new career? CoLIN offers over 30 career tech programs to have you on the job in 2 years or less. Visit www.colin.edu to see why CoLIN is the place to be. That's www.colin.edu.
Show. I'm Dave Nichols. Glad you're with us this morning. We are joined live by the mayor of Monticello, the Honorable Martha Watts. Mayor, again, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Sure.
One thing before I go to what else I want to talk about, I do want to back up to the Grand Fondo. Another new thing that's going to happen with it this year, the Red Bluff Grand Fondo.
Cookies.
You knew exactly where I was going. We have Phil Guymon coming in. He is a retired professional cyclist, was in several championships, rode, I'm pretty sure he also rode the most famous cycling event of all, the one over there in France.
Tour de France.
The Tour de France.
With Luke Armstrong. They were buddies, and then they were foes, I believe.
Well, I think they're still foes, yeah. But he's coming this year. He's got a YouTube channel, the best retirement ever and the worst retirement ever. He's got thousands upon thousands of followers. And the state of Mississippi says, you know what, this is a good thing, and they're helping to sponsor it because they're actually going to – on Sunday, he's going to go do part of the Natchez Trace, and then that will be loaded up to his channel, which will get the state of Mississippi exposure as well. Well, his big thing is, like you just said, cookies. He loves cookies, and there's going to be a cookie bake-off with the Fondo as well.
Yes, there is. These cyclists throughout the ride, there are stops for them where they can fuel up with bananas, fruit, some kind of drinks, power drinks or whatever, and snacks. They have to keep those carbs going, but the cookies are his thing. So we're having the cookie contest, and for $10 you can enter and make at least 20 cookies, and I think Phil Guymon will be one of the judges.
He will be one of the three judges.
I believe he should be.
Yeah, he should be. And here's the neat thing about it, and I forget what there's prizes, okay? And so if you are a great cookie baker, decorator, the whole nine yards, you're going to want to get involved in this because it's going to be like there's going to be three Ramey's gift cards given away.
Large,
$175,
$150, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good amount of Ramey's gift cards that you can win if you were to win the Grand Fondo Cookie Bake Off. Say that fast three times.
No.
Hey, Mayor, you currently have a sewer project going on in town. Boy, it's something that was needed, and I'm thankful that it's happening. And this is what people don't understand about economic development. You have to have good infrastructure in place. That's everything from roads to water, sewer, internet, telephone, cell phone. Infrastructure just really covers the gamut. And it's not just the sewer for where the potential industry or business might go, because remember, people are going to be moving into your community when you land something new. And if you don't have good sewer in the residential areas as well, that could become a turnoff. And I know it's a great project, but I know it may have been a little bit of a headache for you dealing with homeowners. Sometimes they don't understand that their yard has to get torn up for a little while. But talk about the importance of infrastructure and what you're going through there in Monticello right now.
Well, thankfully, we are 98% done. We have one more little thing to do, and the cleanup crew has to come in and smooth everything over and saw either sod or seed the for grass and, you know, just do a general cleanup. But this area has been a problem area for quite a while, and it was past due for upgrades. You know, in some cases, there were no sewer lines. Once they dug down to dig them up, there it had totally corroded, and there was, you know, there was nothing there. So this will get this whole subdivision, the entire subdivision, in good shape with that. But yes, you have to have good infrastructure, you know, your water, your sewer. We'll be starting a water project probably late spring, early summer, and that will replace asbestos water lines. It'll repaint a water tank. So these things are not glamorous, but they are absolutely necessary. We've had very few negative comments. I know that the people do get frustrated when you, a lot of times they'll wait until the end of a street or a section before they bring the cleanup crews in. And then, of course, we have the weather that we've had to go around. And I know it's been a little bit frustrating, but, you know, you either want your commode to flush or you don't, and that's really your choice. So this is the way, you know, this is what you have to do to get there. So we're trying to get our infrastructure in really good shape. And, you know, we've had the change over at our National Guard that will hopefully bring in some. So we're getting prepared, and hopefully we'll be totally ready.
Yeah, like you say, it's not one of the sexy things about being in the public eye of doing water and sewer lines and that kind of stuff.
It's a $500,000 you can't see.
Yeah, exactly. And stop
exactly
and think about that for a minute. $500,000 mm-hmm. that you can't see, but you expect it to work when you walk there and turn the spigot on or mm-hmm. or flush the toilet. You expect it to work, and then when it doesn't, you're up in arms about it. So mm-hmm. A very big thing. Now, something else infrastructure going on. You were very successful in obtaining some of the BP money that was put up for grabs around the state, mm-hmm. and Lawrence County was able to get, it was either $500,000 or 550. New Hebron was able to get some as well.
New Hebron received $50,000. We received $450,000. Ours will go to the frontage road that will connect Highway 27 with Old 27. It'll come out in front of the National Guard Armory, and you know, this includes all of the lighting and, you know, electrical, all of that that goes in with it. So we will be starting that project before too long. We've got a Graham Avenue, where it's a very long road. We're going to be totally rebuilding that base, you know, the roadbed. They're putting, I think, 10 inches of crushed concrete in there, you know, and then we'll pave it back. But that should be a permanent fix to that ongoing problem with potholes on that thoroughfare.
You know, a lot of people don't know the history of Graham Avenue. There was really nothing connecting the north side of Monticello to the south side of Monticello.
Mm-hmm.
And Mayor E.M. Graham, and that's why it got named Graham Avenue, he had city forces go out there with a worn-out backhoe and build the base of the road, and then got a little money and put just a couple of inches of asphalt over the top of the base. It was never a road that was built to modern highway specifications.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it all, you'd go patch a pothole, and 3 days later, you'd have another one pop up 3 feet
literally days later. I mean, the fixes have not worked, and it's frustrated us, and it's frustrated our District 1 and Board President Steve Garrett, Board of Supervisors. You know, they are very helpful to us. In fact, they'll be doing part of this work to help save on costs. We are way over budget on it, so more than the grant allows. So they're going to help us with that. We'll be replacing some very old culverts also while we've got it torn up. So it'll be totally new. Another thing we've got is a riprap project across from City Hall in Runnels Creek. We are very close to losing a corner of a well, and also in one area, the creek is literally 2 feet from the curb from Jefferson Street. It is totally just falling in, so we were able to get an EWP grant through the, it's a federal grant, and this is the second one I believe we've received, but they'll be starting on that hopefully again late spring. So this summer we're going to have 4 construction crews in here doing 4 different projects. It's going to be exciting, but it's also going to be a little bit nerve-wracking, but we'll make it through it. We just want to get these things done, and we want to be in good shape.
Absolutely. It goes back to quality of life, and when they're there, they're going to spend money buying fuels and other supplies.
That's
Mayor,
right.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning. We always appreciate you and the fine job you're doing there in Monticello. But it's time for us to say goodbye. We're so glad you joined us this morning on the Economic Development Show. I'm Dave Nichols, reminding you of the Southwest Mississippi Partnership. We're working so you can too.